A musical masterpiece that happens to be a film score. The principle underlying film music is simple: make the music such an integral part of each scene that it contributes emotional dimension without being noticed. The last part is more important than one might think. If music distracts from a scene by outweighing it emotionally or being too interesting in and of itself, it can do more harm than good. Leonard Bernstein's score to On the Waterfront comes dangerously close to this in the famous taxi scene where Marlon Brando utters the famous line, "I could have been a contender." Luckily, Brando's presence was so compelling that it balanced Bernstein's symphonically complex music. Only one Hollywood film score, in my estimation, manages to be a full partner with the script, the direction, and the cast in not only underlining the movie's intellectual and emotional content, but in helping to create it, and even to alter what otherwise might have been the screenwriter's intent. John Barry's deeply powerful music for 1968's The Lion in Winter. One cannot help but notice Barry's intense cues, and in this case, that's a good thing. The music doesn't distract, it comments on the script with music's uncanny ability to say something without words. Not only is Barry's music a monumental achievement in film scoring, accompanying the subtleties of every scene with a great movie composer's intuition, but it makes an artistic statement of its own, paralleling the screenplay. The cues seem to contain all the emotional conditions possible: darkness, laughter, anguish, pleasure, despair, intimacy, and even hope. It is a musical masterpiece that just happens to take the form of a film score. Royalty is family. To understand the music, we need to outline the script by James Goldman, adapted from his play. King Henry II and his queen, Eleanor of Aquitaine, meet for Christmas at Chinon in France, which is part of Henry's kingdom. Henry usually keeps Eleanor dungeoned up for fear the potential power she wields could be used to overthrow him, but has decided to let her out for Christmas, joining him and their three sons at holiday. The main bone of their contention, masking a deeper, interrelational agony, is which of the sons will succeed Henry as king: Richard, Geoffrey, or John. The story is an emotional tug of war between Henry and Eleanor over succession and more generally the demands of marriage and of royal governance. These two are, however unlikely it seems to us now, related. Kings and queens ruled as emblems of family. Their subjects saw in them the elevated embodiments of their own lives and concerns. So, when Goldman's characters fight and make up and fight again, it is everyone doing so. And when their fighting is absorbed beneath a divine message of hope, everyone's is. Goldman knew this, inserting everyday contemporary dialogue into the royal saga to underline the relationship of royals to ordinary family life. "What shall we hang, the holly or each other?" Richard says to his father. Eleanor is turned into a master ironist. When Henry nearly kills Richard in a fit of rage, she calmly says, "If you spare the rod, you'll spoil our children, Henry." Epic on the inside. This sort of thing unites the universes of royalty and bickering relatives, but in doing so loses the epic, historical feeling one expects from a movie about the first Plantagenet king and his famous queen. And that is where the music comes in. The genius of Barry's answer to this somewhat jarring contrast of the regal with the sarcastic was to grasp that, while the characters shift from monarchs to mundanities, they are always epic inside. There is not a note of irony in Barry's score, only majesty and drama of the highest order. Choral music is prominent throughout the film. Over the opening credits, after a blast of regal brass music, we hear a darkly intoned Latin chant that translates as, "Righteous King of Kings, near is the day of the Lord, the day of wrath and vengeance." This is modal music, apt for evoking the Middle Ages, and it will persist wherever there is conflict and despair. Woven into this are three original Christmas songs, one in each of the languages that might have been spoken at Chinon: French, English, and Latin. They are deliberately anachronistic, cast in the modern major scale tonality that catches the ear of the listener unawares. The listener knows something is different but doesn't know why. This is crucial to the musical meaning of the final scene. The single most beautiful cue in the score, and one of the most beautiful in all screen music history, is Eleanor's arrival at Shinan. As Eleanor is transported by barge down the river to Shinan, Barry supplies 3 minutes of music worthy of any queen. The choir hails, in Latin, Eleanor, Queen of the English, while horns and strings embrace the salutation majestically. Following this, in subsequent scenes, comes some of the darkest music ever penned for the screen, accompanying some of the direst words ever uttered on it, punctuated by that trio of Christmas songs. Unexpected hope. At film's end, Eleanor leaves as she arrived, barging back up the river, but now without the regal music. Christmas has been a disaster. And yet, as she departs and Henry yells his boisterous goodbyes, Barry gives us the most optimistic, most hope-filled musical cue we have yet heard, by far. At the core of it is, of all things, an ascending major scale, Do Re Mi Fa Sol La Ti Do. This is the joyful anachronism of the Christmas songs come round to the story's end. After all the struggle and despair, there is glory after all, brought by Christmas and the promise of a Western world that will outgrow its medieval darkness and find a way into a brighter and sweeter future. The glory of a crown is also a stop on the way to freedom. Without Barry's final cue, we would not feel this. It is created solely by his music. The score to The Lion in Winter stands alone among Barry's output. He wrote nothing else even remotely like it. For that matter, he almost didn't write Lion. Studio execs demurred at hiring the composer of music for James Bond movies and the popish title tune to Born Free to create the atmosphere of a dark comedy set in the 12th century. Indeed, nothing in the composer's background yelled medieval drama. Prior to writing movie music, Barry had fronted a small-time rock and roll band in rural England. But director Anthony Harvey believed in him, and Barry felt that drawing on his childhood experience of Roman Catholic chant could produce a score evocative of the era and of the striking personalities in the script. He was spectacularly right. Barry's music for The Lion in Winter won him his third Oscar, and he would win two more, one each for Out of Africa and Dances with Wolves, before dying in 2011, age 78. Barry is remembered today primarily for his James Bond scores and Out of Africa. In The Lion in Winter, he achieved something that merits a closer look, the creation of a film score that not only supports dialogue and action, but becomes a part of both. Would you like to see other kinds of arts and culture articles? Please email us your story ideas or feedback at features@epictimes.nyc.